Fine. So we're saying like this. So over here, we're in the middle of Sefer Chafetz. We're going to learn here the positive commandments one can transgress when they speak Lashon Hara. Like they say over here the following. Imagine meeting a friend of yours as you exit a restaurant that was once kosher, but recently taken over by non-Jews and is no longer kosher. Your friend was not aware of this information, and he's holding a sizzling hot Frank in his hand, which he's about to bite into. Oh, so you feel a bit uncomfortable depriving him of this earthly pleasure. So you decide to hold off and let him take one bite. After the first bite, you ask yourself, have I limited him to one measly bite? And once he's taken a few bites, you tell yourself, why not let him have a few more bites? It'll take him to finish the frame. Finally, the last bite is finished. You tell your friend that he's just eaten a non-kosher frank. Of course, this is an outrageous story. It seems like something that could never happen. Chafetz Chaim informs us, surprisingly, something quite similar is liable to happen every single day. I have to see you every day?
Actually, according to Kashrus Magazine, it is a very common problem for ice cream parlors.
But here, if we allow someone to continue a conversation of Lashon Hara, is as if you hear this. If we allow someone to continue their conversation of Lashon Hara, is as if we are allowing him to eat non-kosher food, and informing him after the conversation that he was just spoken Lashon Hara does not absolve us of guilt. Just as each bite of non-kosher food is a separate violation of the negative commandment. For every kazayis is another iser. So too, each and every word of Lashon Hara is a transgression for itself. Well, it's pretty scary.
Wow.
So Chafetz Chaim says that to refrain from rebuking someone who speaks Lashon Hara is a violation of the commandment Hocheach Hocheach Et Amitecha, that which is the mitzvah deraisa to rebuke one fellow Jew. On the other hand, offering rebuke in the right way, especially when it's an uncomfortable task, is considered a great mitzvah. In the right way. Again, the Gemara said that it's very hard these days to give tachacha the right way. But if we could rebuke in the right way without embarrassing them, it's a very great mitzvah. But as we know the right way, the Gemara says you'd be surprised you can find anyone who can rebuke properly these days. It means obviously it doesn't have to be rebuked. It could be like in this scenario, someone wants to tell me Lashon Hara, they can tell him, I think it's Lashon Hara, I don't want to hear. Or just tell him. Or a lot of them you could ask someone, is what you're saying Lashon Hara? You don't have to attack them. You could ask them. Sometimes they might give excuses why it's not Lashon Hara, but you could just say, is it
that's
yeah, but usually when you talk to a person normally, you don't if you want to keep like a normal relationship with them, you don't have to tell them, I don't want to hear what you have to say.
It doesn't really work.
Right. You can tell the guy, so it's better than people say, I hear about most of them say, ask the person, don't like accuse them. It could be he's not saying Lashon Hara, maybe it's for a specific purpose. Maybe I thought he's going to say Lashon Hara, right? Maybe I thought he's saying that he's wasting time, he's learning Chafetz Chaim, he really meant something else, right? No?
Usually it's Lashon Hara.
But no, so you can ask the guy, is what you're saying, you don't have to tell the guy, that's also rebuking him, because if it is Lashon Hara, you're rebuking him, it doesn't have to be like a head-on rebuke. But then he can get the mitzvah of Hocheach Hocheach Et Amitecha. Now, also, there's another positive commandment, that observant Jews are especially aware of the influence of one's environment. I mean, if you don't care where you live anyways, it doesn't make a difference, you don't know what the environment does to you. But if you do care about the influence, so then an observant Jew is aware of the influence of his environment. A person who spends time with people who are immersed in Torah learning and serving the community, he adopts their standards, which become the benchmark of his aspirations. And their goals become his goals. And their dreams become his dreams. And it's so important to have positive influences in our life. Hashem decided to make it a positive commandment. The positive commandment is called Uvotid Ba. It's in Devarim 10:20. It says, to him you shall cleave. As Chazal says, referring to cleaving to those who immerse themselves in Torah and also Chazal says those who are devoted to its fulfillment. Means the Chazal say Uvotid Ba mitzvah deraisa, not only to connect with Talmid and Chachamim, to connect with Talmid and Chachamim and people who connect what the Torah's value, to try to keep the Torah. It's a mitzvah deraisa. So if you say, well, who cares which shul I go to, who cares where I go, it's going to be a mitzvah deraisa moving to one community over another community. If I associate myself with people who are learning Torah and associate myself with people who try to involve themselves with Torah learning, it's a mitzvah deraisa. It's of what is back that you said, why does Hashem do this? Because Hashem knows how what our surroundings make an influence on us. So Hashem says, I'm going to make all the mitzvahs, the Zohar says, are 613 eaten deraisa. 613 eats us had to come close to Hashem. That's what Zohar says. 613 mitzvahs are 613 ways of advice how to connect to Hashem. So here's another mitzvah. It's another way of the advice how to connect to Hashem. If you cling with people who try to serve Hashem, you'll cling with Hashem. We're not going to bring the last thing. That the mitzvahs aren't just like nice things. They're ways of advice that kind of connect you with Hashem. That's our. So Chavetz Chaim teaches us, if we gravitate to groups and shul who engage in Lashon Hara, we set up a major obstacle towards fulfilling this command. Because either you could sit with the guys who are shmoozing, or you could sit with the guys who are sitting and learning, right? It says sometimes, right, you have a break between Mincha and Maariv, the Chavetz Chaim says. So either you could connect with Talmid Chacham and people are learning and try to talk to them and go to a shir, or you could speak with people who are speaking Lashon Hara. So sometimes when you connect with people outside speaking Lashon Hara, you're actually violating the commandment of what is back which should cleave with the Chacham, and we're sitting inside and learning. Wow, it's pretty powerful.
One thing we need to remember is our actions influence our children.
That's true. But so now we try to learn another piece of Gemara. Go further down the Amar on Mahodi on Chesam al Aleph 8a in Safis Makos. And we continue on the Gemara. We try to learn another few lines. Chesam al Aleph. Or 8a. Which one makes sense? Which one you want? 8a?
8a, 1 or 2?
That's right, that you have to. Fine.
Three times, please.
So we said in the Mishnah halacha. What was the halacha we said in the Mishnah? So we said in the Mishnah halacha. What was the second halacha in the Mishnah? The second line. What did we say? We said, "Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov." Yehuda ben Yaakov says, "I'm just going back to the Mishnah so we understand what we're saying." If from when it left. The stone left the thrower's hand. After it left his hand, then Hotzi Hala Esresha. This person stuck out his head. The Kiblan accepted this thing into his forehead, Rasha, the stone. Harezeh Pater. This person who threw the stone is Pater from God. Right? So the guy threw it, and suddenly a guy hears everybody screaming, so he sticks his head out the window and hits him in the head. He dies. The thrower does not have to go to Galut. Now why? It seems like it's a scenario where the thrower threw and killed someone by accident, right? Usually you kill someone by accident, so you go to Galut. So why is this case different? Let's see the Gemara. So only now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth wide line in the Gemara. Tana Rabbana. Top bridge. Got it, Yosef? Not really? Tana Rabbana. Umatza. The Pasuk says, the stone found, right, what does the Pasuk say? If you have a fancy Gemara, you see what it says with Matzah. It says, at the end of the Pasuk, says, U'matzah es re'ehu v'mitz. Right, it says the guy was taking the axe, and then it found his friend, and he died. It says U'matzah. U'matzah means it found him. So what is that? What is the word I want to say that means? U'matzah. U'matzah means it found your friend. Prat, the exclusion. L'mamsi es afat, the one who found himself, which means to me, who made himself found.
Like putting yourself in harm's way, so to speak.
Yeah, but you didn't know about it, but you did that.
So you're saying,
if this stone found you, meaning you were safe, this Rabbi Yosef told me this pshat. This pshat for Rabbi Yosef and Akai. If I was standing here, and the pshat and the thing found me, means I'm stationary, and I was there first. So then originally, it hit me, must have been it found me, I was in my original position, and it found me in its original state, right? It found me. But not that I found it. If I stuck my head out, then Umamti is asked, means he made himself found. So then, he doesn't go to Zohar, then it's not his fault. He's like, oh, I missed maybe. if I was standing there, the guy threw the stone, and the stone found me, so then the thrower is liable for killing someone mistakenly. But if I made myself found, so he's almost the honest. There's no way for him to know he was thrown last. No, he's either. Good.
Then in the vessel, there's two sides. There's the guy's messed up his forehead, and there's the rock. Which one began moving first?
Oh, that's what I was
thinking. In case of the guy finding the rock in his head, he began to move second.
Oh,
which means that there's no way a guy can control a rock that's already left his hand.
Right.
Which means it's an inus.
Right, sure.
In the other situation, the guy, the target is stationary. So,
awesome.
It's a shaggy.
Hard. So you said you chat a few months ago, but it does just chat also. How is the... Oh,
you reminds the Goliath, I guess.
One more time?
Okay, so if...
No.
So I'll explain. He's saying like this. If when this guy threw the rack, nothing was there. So then, nothing was there. So it's like, oh, this guy stuck his head out. If it hit your head, sorry, I'm a thrower, I'm honest. I couldn't help it. There's no way I couldn't take the rack back. So over there, there's no gloves. But if you were stationary and when I threw the rock, so that's a shogun. So that's a mistake. I killed you by mistake. You gotta go to Gauls. That's the difference. That's the difference in logic, what the difference is. The Gemara thing we're learning out of a pasuk. We're making a drasha. Right? The drasha is it has to find you. And that's that you found it. So now it basically saying the svar, the logic behind it. What's the logic behind it? The logic is, if after I threw it, then you stuck your head out, I can't take a rock back. So it's not my fault. But if you were stationary and the rack was there, then it is my fault. That's the logic behind the Gemara's drush.
Right, so in the case of the guy who stuck his head out of a window, like Rashi says, who moved first?
Yeah, but if the guy... The
rack moved first, then he moved first.
But what's enough for me if he doesn't see the guy that's thrown, doesn't see the guy moving?
What do you mean? It doesn't matter.
They're both moving.
You're right.
Which
he didn't see. Nahon, the Torah says it doesn't matter. You're right. In either case, he did the same action. He didn't know
the logic behind it. The logic could be broken by the Gemara anytime.
Rabbeinu is asking, what's the difference? It's a puzzle. Rabbeinu is saying, what's the difference? This guy's action was the same. He threw a stone.
Throw a stone. It doesn't matter. So
at the end of the day, it's really based on the drasha. The Torah tells us to us. We're trying to break it down a little to understand it a little better. We can understand the drasha. Really, it's based on the drasha. The Torah tells us. Umasa, the Gemara is saying, is only if he threw it first. If the guy was standing there first.
The guy was throwing it and the guy said, I don't know if he can easily say, my friend lives up there and I was throwing the rock to wake him up. That's what I usually do. This time he sticks out the window a little earlier.
It's
not
like he gives excuses.
Not necessarily negligent. But that's the way he always did things. I throw a rock at the wall over there. This guy stuck his head out and hang his laundry and then he got killed. That's why it could be honest.
Yeah, so nice that the pasuk says, the bottom line is the pasuk says is that the only time you go to Gauls is if the thing was stationary, which means umatza means it found him. Meaning,
right.
So let's see the Gemara inside. Tell me, Rabbi. Umatza, prat, we're going to exclude, lemam tzihu, es after, who took himself out. If he took himself out here, there's no Gauls. So that's what the price says. So now, all the price says is umatza, it has to find you, and not that you found it. Now comes Rabbi Yezer and gives us an example, right? The Bryce is pretty like, you know, it's pretty like, it's a one liner. The Bryce says, oh, must you only go to Gauls when the rock found the person, and not when he found it. So Rabbi Yezer and Azariah comes, or sorry, Rabbi Yezer and Yaakov comes and gives us the scenario. So Mikan from here, Rabbi Yezer and Yaakov, Rabbi Yezer and Yaakov says, understands from this Bryce, so, even Mishayatsa, he understands it like this. Im Mishayatsa, ha'evet niyadai, if from when the stone left the thrower's hand, Haitzi Hala, this person stuck out as Reshe's head, the Kibla, and he got it in his head, then you're Potter. That's the Brisa that means. When the Brisa says you make yourself found, what does that mean? That means I made myself available after it left the hands of the throat. That's the Brisa. Right? The Brisa doesn't explain itself so well. Not so well, it doesn't really, it just says that it's an exclusion of you make yourself found. So that doesn't have to explain what does that mean. What does it mean you make yourself found? It means that after it was thrown, I made myself found. Right? You say every case, if not Rabbeinu Yaakov, you can say every case I make myself found. Right? I walk down the street, I made myself found. Say no. What it means that you made yourself found was you made yourself found after it was already thrown out of his hand. That's what it means you made yourself found. Good. Right? Because really, I say now. Because I would read the Brisa. I thought every case I made, I was walking down the street, and then he threw the rock. I just made myself found. So it's not what it means. It means you made yourself found after it left the hands of the throat. Good? Fine.
Which means that any guy, now that you're saying that, I'm thinking, which means any guy walking, just around them, the fact that you're walking means that your movement, you've been in movement after the thing left the guy's hand.
Yeah, but
so really, that would be the same situation.
Man, if I wasn't in the range of this
you're
thing.
If you were walking the entire time and you hit the head of the rock, it's like a matzah.
That could be.
You have to know if the guy walking or not. It's hard to know if now he's dead.
I don't know if it depends on station or that's
it makes sense.
The guy might have been moving around in his building before he stuck his head out the window. Meaning, I don't know if the thing is stationary.
No, I think he's talking about view. Is it that when you throw something, that is generally there's a trajectory. Like I say trajectory. There's a path on which it's going to go.
Right.
And basically, if you cross that path after it's left.
So it's view. It's like
in
view. Whether or not you're
and stationary.
So if you turn around one up, some guy throws a rock.
What do you say about it?
But if the guy gets hit by the rock,
same thing.
I think you do exactly right.
Yeah.
But if the guy gets hit by the rock, then
you go to the light of fire.
It doesn't change the status of getting hit. It's the throw we're talking about.
Two things. It's had it left the hand, and was the guy was in a moving target.
He's damaged or he's hurt or he's killed. It doesn't matter.
And not
he's killed,
like,
he's moving.
Was it in the
throw
or not?
It's the status that changes in the throw.
Yeah.
In view? View or a moving target or in view?
I don't know. What's the view?
No, the Gemara just said the Gemara.
Yeah, it talks about view. It doesn't matter if you see or not.
Right, but no, the Gemara really just says it had. The Gemara said it has to be.
I think in both cases it didn't see. You can throw a rock at a guy, you don't throw a rock at the person you see there. I think even if you threw him just a rock, it was either a fence or something, you didn't see him ever.
Right.
Now, you, truly, the Gemara just says made car. The Gemara says once car. Could be also you're adding moving. The Gemara itself says that it was made car. The Gemara says, it could be, I mean, the Gemara doesn't say so much about the stationary movement. The Gemara just says,
made car
means originally when it was thrown, you were already input, you were already there. Meaning, when you were there when it was originally when it was thrown. Yeah, I don't know so much because like you were there, you were moving. The point is you were there, but and not that you weren't there.
You were there in its path. I think it's trying to.
No, in its path, but right. But I'm saying, let's say your scenario was I'm in its path and I'm just coming closer. I don't think there's a reason to be popped there.
No, that's different. I'm
it's
saying let's say you're in its path, but
and
in
you
a
just
second moved. Before you weren't because you're moving and it's coming from
here. That's true. But if you came
in
the path all the time,
you would have been walking a little faster. You
true.
That's
okay.
True.
Ready?
Good.
Guy throws a rock.
Yeah.
He's walking up a hill.
Right, toward the rock.
He's walking towards the rock.
Right.
But he's not in view yet.
But
he's walking, and the guy throws a rock.
But he's not in view.
Right.
What's the outcome?
So it's the same thing.
So he throws the rock, the guy's walking up the hill, all of a sudden, boom, he gets hit by the rock.
I think it would be Meikara. Because he's walking in the path of the rock the entire time. Meaning whether he was moving or not, he'd be hit by the rock.
Whether
he's moving toward a rock.
Right.
Not moving sideways from the rocks.
So you're saying what? You're saying
he's
I'm
high.
Saying it would be the Meikara. He's high.
You're saying it's high.
He was there, yeah, he's high. He's shaggy.
Because he was there first.
Yeah. It's like he was there first. Because by the time the guy threw the rock until it left his hand, the entire time he was in the path to be hit. Now if you're telling me the guy's walking, the guy's turning downhill, the guy's walking across the hill, that would be different. It'd be like the guy sticking his head out the window. Would you like must
the guy received
like,
it.
Yeah, he received it. Walked
right.
Into the path of the rock.
Hashem, we're handling it. Getting involved, bro.
Yeah, it's
Hashem
was physics and Gemara together.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Very good. Baruch Hashem. Oh, Hashem's enjoying it. Tyre over here. Oh, so let's see further. What does Gemara say? Oh, so we're coming out that Mishayatza Eben means, that means originally when the guy threw the rock, you were had to be in the line of fire. If you weren't there originally, then the guy didn't go to Golis. He's considered an Einus. That's the Gemara's system.
Now, does he have to see you?
No, because if he doesn't have to see you, that's why it's a mistake. If he saw you, he would be negligent. If he saw you there and he threw it anyways, then he doesn't go to Golis because then he's negligent. The case is specifically he didn't see you, so it was a mistake. If he saw you, you're dead meat. And you were warned that you're dead. The thrower is dead because he killed
the
guy.
That case. The guy sees the guy with the knife. He sees him and...
Yeah, if he sees you, then what's it for? Then
he can't run into him. He's not good.
Right, because that point has to be brought up. That he doesn't see you.
Right, he doesn't see you. Not fine. If he saw you, then not fine. He doesn't see you. Right, he didn't see. Sure, didn't see. Good. Fine. But I don't know why it's coming out that we interpreted the word umatza, but we just, you know, dictionary it to say umatza. The Gemara just made a dictionary from now on the word umatza, and it was found means that it was found originally. Meaning, this was the state, and something found it. Something, this person was standing here originally, and the thing found you. That's when you say the word found. What I was going to say, but we have a problem with that. Lamemra, to say, literally means to say, do you mean to say the matzah, that the word, the Torah, when it says the word matzah, me'ikara mashma, it mashma, it's connoting to us, it's teaching us, to, that means some found thing which was originally there, that's what a found means. That's your chat, you just told me. A found the person who was originally there, right? And not that you found it. But for a mini, we're going to ask a contradiction, or a mini is a contradiction, like a rummy. Why? We have a brisa that sounds like it says the opposite, exact opposite. This brisa is going to sound like it says the word matzah means that it was found originally. What does it say in this Gemara? It says umatzah. We're making a drush on the pasuk of umatzah. So what does it say? Prat, we're trying to exclude lematzoy. Now, what are the talking about? So if you have a Gemara with psukim, it says, if you look at the psukim, you should be on a pasuk base. In your fancy Gemaras, on the side of Gemaras, you find the second pasuk they bring it. What does the pasuk say? The ish and a man. He does not have a redeemer. The siga yado and his hand reaches. Umatza kadei gulase. And he finds in order to redeem. What's this talking about? This is talking about a case of someone who feels that sells their field of inheritance. We know the halacha that you're not supposed to sell your field of inheritance. Rechanan, if you got a field, Moshe Rabbeinu gave your family a field, Hashem gave it to you, don't sell it for anything. Unless you can't do anything with that. If you do sell it, what's that halacha? The Torah feels bad for you.
And we tell you. Redeem it.
The closest relative should try to redeem it for you. At least it will stay in the family.
And they have to sell it back to you.
And they sell it back to you. But also, no. In the first year, it's like it's on the contract automatically that whoever the buyer is, he has to be willing to sell it back to you within the first year. I come up with the money to buy back my house and my land, he's forced to sell me by halacha during the first year. Once the first year is up, then he keeps it until you end.
Same price?
Yes. Yeah, but yeah, Pasha is the stuff, yeah, the same money, everything is the same. The Torah wants me to have my field back. Right? You got their barrel, you got their halacha? What?
To the value of something that's
that's a good question. That's, I don't know what the halacha is right now. But this is the halacha. Halacha is he has to sell it back to me. If I sell my field of inheritance to somebody, right, and I come up with the money during the first year, he's forced to sell it back to me. Got there, he has to sell me back my own field. Because Hashem wants me to have my field of inheritance. It's really supposed to stay by me, my family. If I don't over the first year, fine, he can keep it till Yovel after the 50th year, comes back to me, my family. If I'm still around, be with me, my family. Yeah, it comes back.
Basically, if you don't have
a
you can only lease land.
There's no such thing. You weren't really buying. It was really all just a lease. It was all a lease anyway.
You buy a house and there's
right. The Gemara says, no, that's
when,
the
when you buy a house here, you have to. It's a 99-year lease.
Yeah, that's how it works.
On the land.
On the land.
So apparently the whole entire country is leasing for 1,000 years. That's
expensive.
We're leasing from Hashem, really. Why can't buy?
Wait, so what happens in 99 years?
It's the land authority. And
999 years.
Every year you have to pay a 10 shekel tax.
Oh.
On that.
99 years?
Yeah.
That's like 1,000 shekel.
Well, on a million shekel property, that's pretty good.
Fine, so let's continue.
I mean, we're not even including our no-no.
So let's continue. So what's happening?
That's
again.
Like a whole percent.
Well, let's continue here. Back to the reality. Back to the real.
Can you renew the lease after?
Let's say the parallel of what you're bringing
in. Okay. Okay, so what do we say? We say like
this. I understand that now at this point, I want to keep going forward because
we're
going
to try. We're trying. Everybody, Fanon wants to go further.
I don't understand the parallel of the land.
It's the word
umatza.
Okay, but it's just not a mission. It's the word umatza. We're thinking with it. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, what does it say? It says, if you didn't have money, and now you found money to buy back your land,
right,
the buyer, the leaser, has to sell you back your land.
Right.
Let's call the buyer. The buyer has to sell you back your land. Now,
well, then you have to give back to him.
Let's say I had money the whole time in the bank, but I decided I want extra $50,000 to go on vacation. Why am I selling my land? Not because I don't have money. I have money, but I want to buy a new Jaguar.
Yeah.
I just,
so you're going to sell your choices?
So I sold my land. And then I know I'm going to make a business deal in another few months, and I'm going to buy it back. I want to buy it back from this guy. Then he doesn't have to sell it back to me. Only if I had no choice and I had to sell it to him because I needed to put the book right on the table, then he has to sell it back to me. During the first year, he has to sell it back to me. But if I just wanted extra money or whatever, did it for whatever reason, then he does not have to sell my failed back. He said, go take a hike. During the first year. Anytime. He never has to sell the iPhone. Till 50 years. But we don't. We can figure it out. Best we can figure it out. They'll check into him and say, buddy, you didn't. When you sold that field the next day, you didn't buy bread with that. So you bought a Jaguar. So you didn't really need the money for a first 50. That's one of them.
I think they had Jaguars.
What?
So they
sold the Jaguar.
The Jaguar.
How does that work?
If you want to ride on a Jaguar, instead of riding on a horse, it's probably pretty balanced.
How are they using the word in this?
It comes out.
Positive.
Oh.
And in basically
they're using it basically not parallel, it's a stira.
So we'll get
here the way they're using matzah is contradicting the way you use matzah over here.
So what are we saying? So that was just
that's
actually a stira.
Well, how is it contradicting?
We'll get to it in a second. We'll get to it. Wait a second. So that's the halacha. Halacha is. So now the Gemara is another case. Let's say I had two properties, right? I have an old property and a new property. So now I sold my better property because I needed $1 million. So I had no money, I needed $1 million, I sold my $1 million property. Right?
Now, which one is the family inheritance?
Both fields. They're both family inheritance fields. Both. They're both fields. Let's say. I need $1 million, I sold my $1 million field. Right? Now, what happens, I come up with $500,000, and I also have a bad field, which is also worth $500,000. So I want to take my $500,000 field and sell it, and buy back my new field.
Original nice field.
Which
why
means
didn't you just give him
that
this field?
Money, because I already sold my. For whatever reason.
No, you're not just giving the bad field and say this is worth $500,000.
But he has to be masked. Halacha is you can't. Halacha is if I had no money at the time of my sale that I sold him this original field, I had zero money, I had zero assets, then he has to sell me back my field.
Money or assets?
Anything, even assets.
Yeah, assets.
If I have zero, nothing, and I had to sell my field to put bread on the table, then during the first year he has to sell me back my field. But if I had even assets, I had an old field, a different field which was cheaper. If that was available, so now I tell a buddy, listen, I'm gonna sell my bad field, come up with the money and pay you up to buy my better field back. How lucky he still doesn't have to sell it back to me.
He does not have to.
I had even assets at the time when I sold my field to him, he doesn't have to. The field. If I had zero money, the Torah said, I'm a poor guy, I need to put bread on the table, I have no assets, nothing, and I sold my field, then during the first year, if I come up with money, he has to sell back to me. But even if I even had assets, he doesn't have to sell back. That's what it means. So the pasuk says, if now I found money, which the Torah says, the Gemara means, I found money right now, and I want to buy it back from the guy who's bought it, then he has to buy it back from me. But not if I had money originally. So the word umatza, this Gemara means the opposite of we said. Umatza means now, I found money now. And not that I originally had money in assets and cash, I don't care. So
that's future?
Future. Umatza means only future. So that's
the exact opposite.
Opposite of what we just said. We just said the word umatza means the stone found the guy's head. Meaning originally when I threw it, it was going to find his head. He had to be here. So originally it found you, the stone. But we said if first I threw the stone and you found it, then you don't fit. He was saying the word umatza means the exact opposite. The word umatza means it's found from now on. Which means if it's found that you have money from now on, and not that you had money originally, then he has to sell you back your field.
And that applies to the guy listing the stone.
And therefore, so why I say it's the exact stira, your two brains are making an exact complication. What does the word umatza mean? I open a dictionary, what does the word umatza mean? So does the word mean umatza mean and it's found originally? Or does it mean it's found from now on? So the word umatza in two different Gemara is telling me it's the exact opposite. Meaning if the word umatza means, like that Gemara said, it means from now on, right? So it should be, even if the guy stuck his head out the window,
right,
and then it hit you, you should still go to Golos. Because the word umatza means, even afterwards, umatza means it found you, even future. So even if it found you after it was thrown, and then it found you, that means future. should still get called. So she means, what does the word matzah mean? You're telling me this Gemara means, the matzah means, it found you, it means originally. Originally, when you threw it, it was going to find you.
Left his hand.
Left his hand. And you were there, so originally it was thrown, it was going to hit you. Then,
right.
You get called. But not if you stuck your head out, and then it hit you. Because that's considered future. Meaning, umatzah that found you, and when he threw it originally, it was going to find you. Not that it found you afterwards, that you made a scenario that it's going to find you afterwards, a step later. I mean, when the guy threw it, originally, when he threw it, it was going to hit you. And not that a new thing came up later and it found you. It means it's going to find you. It must mean it's going to find you. Not that it found you. That's what it means.
So that's
in the first breath.
It would apply this.
I mean, it wasn't what a matzah means. A matzah means it's going to find you, or it means it found you. Is matzah mean going to find or found? That's the problem.
Depends on which scenario.
So the one brisa says, our brisa says, a matzah means it's going to find you.
Well,
so if he threw a stone,
that's what we just learned.
If he threw a stone, said, if he threw a stone and it's going to find you and it hits you, then you go to God. But if it found you because you stuck your head out, there's no God. The second brisa is saying the opposite. If you found money now, then he has to sell you back your property. But if you had money, you found you, and I said in English, you had money the whole time, so it was found, then he doesn't have to sell it back to you. Right? So what does the word matzah mean? Matzah means that right now it's found, it's going to find you, right? Or it means the future. So it's exact kind of stira, what it means for the two different brises.
Stira
means a contradiction. So the brises are, the two brises are contradicting each other. What the word matzah mean? And it's going to find you.
It's a
pasuk from the right, the meaning, but the Gemara, the way the brises are understanding is they're still the brises. One brisa says that the word, when the pasuk says, the Torah says, matzah means that it's found now, it's a future thing. It was found now and on future. And our brisa that we learned, who Blessed Yaakov brought us, says it means that it was originally, it was found, the situation, right? It found you. Not that it was found afterwards. It means that he threw the stone. And, as I said before, it was found. The first price is, it found you. The first price of Meikar Masha means it was going to find you. It was going to find you. The second price means it was, the word once means it was found. That's the difference. He was saying, when he threw the stone, when he threw it, it was going to find you because you were standing there. Right? Second price means no, umatzah means the money is found now. He just got the money now to rebuy the land. So what does the word umatzah mean? That's the worst problem. So Rebbe says an interesting answer. Rebbe says it depends on the context. It's an easy way to get at it.
The case in the first case, the heaven, is that umatzah
probably lafi has to find you,
okay,
and not that you found it, which the Rebbe Lezer and Yaakov explains that to mean that it's only if when it was thrown it was going to find you originally. Not that you came afterward and you made your head find it. Fine.
So let's see. The head coming out afterwards.
That's Mamtis Atma. That's you found yourself. You made yourself found. That means your head came out afterwards.
Oh, okay, so the pasuk about the tree, is that what this is referring to? The matzah?
Yeah.
Is it when you chop the wood? I mean,
yeah.
Talking about, like, from there.
Right.
The pasuk about the seed of the land, talking about
aha, so that's the contradiction. So let's just see the Gemara inside. Let's see it inside again for a minute. Let's see now the third line in the Gemara. The Gemara said for a minute, I have a contradiction. It said umatzah prat to exclude lematzui to money that is found now. I mean, umatzah means you found the money now. Prat the exclusion lematzui that it was found originally. Let's say you, and the Gemara is going to be placed. Let's say you have assets. So like Yimkart, you're not going to sell right now Barachot, a field that's very far away, which was your assets, the yigah and redeem the car of a field which is close. Right? You had this asset both times. Or bura'ah, you can sell your bad assets, the yigah the yaf and redeem your nice field, your good, your right, your new field, which is because if you had assets even a far field, we're trying to give an example, why are you trying to sell your assets and buy this land back from this guy? Because either I'm selling a field that is very far from my house, or that was a bad field. You can't sell. But the point that they're saying that you have to get new money now. It can't be old money, old assets that I had, either an old field or a faraway field I'm trying to sell. It has to be new money. So you do matzah means you found money now. So that's the contradiction.
What you might say is
So umatza means
to be found. To be found.
Umatza means it was found now.
It was found now.
Prat the matsui was already found. Right? Prat means like umatza meikar was already found. Good. Like so, the Gemara is giving an example. Why would you sell? Meaning, the Gemara is giving an example. Why would you sell a field that you had already to buy this new field back? I'm just going to try to give a practical example.
Why just sell that land from the beginning?
Because let's say it's worth more money, and now you got more money to be master.
But if you need money for bread, you should have sold it to the small thing, why is it sell the big land to get bread?
You need a lot of money.
How much bread did you eat?
Oh, fuck. So, Amar Rava, what does Rava say? Rava says the interesting answer. He says it depends on the context of the pasuk. What the word matzah means. He said it could have two meanings. You can open up a dictionary, will have two different meanings. Depends on the context. What's the difference? So it said like this: Hafa over here meaning Yani the crow, like it's flowing like the top of the pasuk. But Hasam over there, by the case of the redeeming your field, meaning Yani the crow, it depends on the topic of that pasuk. Meaning what? Hasam over there meaning Yani the crow, it's going on the topic of that pasuk. Because when it says the word umatza in that pasuk, it's dumya, it's similar to the vehisiga yadin. When it says in that pasuk that it reached your hand, money reached your hand. So mahisiga yadin, just like when it says money reached your hand, that means mehashta. Right? It means in that pasuk means money reached your hand now, means you're making your money now. Af matza nami, also when it says in the word pasuk matza, also. See, even when it says the word matza, mehashta, it's referring to you found the money now. Look at the Pesach Benamei, let's just read the flow of the Gemara. Tafa over here, me'in yale dekra. It depends on the topic of the pasuk. So umatza, the word umatza is dumya, similar to ya'ar, to the forest. Ma ya'ar, just like the ya'ar, the forest, midei the isei meikar, it's something that was here originally, the forest was always here. So, af umatza nami, also when it says the word umatza, midei the isei meikar, it's referring to something that was here already. The Rebbe is saying an interesting thing. Rav seems to say this in the text. Dependent on the flow of the pasuk, what the word matzah will mean. If you look at this pasuk and it flows, it depends on the flow of the pasuk, depends on what that pasuk was talking about. He says like this. If we look back at the pasuk, let's go to pasuk base first. That's the Gemara goes first. It says, V'ish amen, ki lo yelogua, he did not have any redeemer, he did not have any relatives to redeem the field for him. V'hisiga yada, and his hand reached the money. So the word v'hisiga yada mean his hand reached the money now. And said umatza, and it was found to him kedei gulasa, enough money to redeem it. Mm-hmm. Saying the flow of the pasuk for the words before are referring to a situation of the present. See, we were trying to say, is umatza meaning present, or does it mean a future? So he's saying now it depends on the context of the pasuk. Over there, the pasuk said it, money reached your hand now umatza, and it was found to you. So since the words v'hisiga yada mean now and it reached your hand now. Therefore, we're saying the word also umatza means now. That's the flow of the pasuk. But in the Gemara earlier, when it said, but what about pasuk aleph? By the scenario of the tree in our Gemara. So, with there, in the context of the pasuk, it sounds like it means that it was there originally. Why? So, here it's a little hard to understand. But let's read the pasuk. He says, Basha yava is re'eyu by ya'ar. When your friend came into the ya'ar to the forest. Last of Eitzim Techapuah, the Nitcha Yoda Bagaz, and his hand would push the axe, Lithper to Eitzim Techapuah, the Nazar Barzel Minha Eitz, and the Barzel slipped from the wood. Umatza Israel found your friends. He says to me, issue. He says, since this whole story with the tree and the forest was here the whole time, when it says the word Umatza also was found, also means something that was found here the whole time, which means that this person was found by the time you threw it. So he's saying it depends on the context of the pasuk, basically. Where the contradiction was, where it wants to mean. He's saying it depends on the context of the pasuk. Let's see, do we have two Rashis over here? Three Rashis. Try to get them in over here. Rashi said it's the third Rashi. He says umatza, the third Rashi in the Gemara. Mashma shehusha, it sounded like he, the man, was standing there. Umatza neshel ha-barzal. And the barzal met him. As we have a price that says Prat Lamamsi is Atma. It sounds like we're coming. Oh, so we said, what's it coming to exclude? Exclude if you make yourself found. Operate can afterwards. Chaytzi Halas Reshit, this person stuck out his head, Minach Halayim from the window. The Kibel Ha'evni, he accepted the stone, Bimit Sain his forehead. There, your potter. Either way, so we have a contradiction. We have a Bryce that says, Umatza, you could redeem the field, right, when you get money, if you find money now. Prat L'matza, the exclusion if it was found all the time. Trust me, Meicher Sedei Achuzatza. You're referring to a scenario where someone sold their land of inheritance, and they skipped the parentheses. So, Ksiv, what does it say? The Yisiga Yada, and it reached his hand. Umatza, and he found, which means he found money now. Prat the exclusion. L'matza, if it was found to him the whole time. I mean, Im Haisegu Ula Zu. If this redemption was Mitsuya Beyada, it was found in his hand the whole time, Kisha Macho, when he sold his field, then even at the time he sold his field, he could have made this redemption because he had the assets in his Rishos. Then, in Kaifen, we do not force Asalakeach, the buyer, Lachzira Liftas, to force him to redeem. We don't force him to. Fine, Shteach, Baruch Hashem, moving right along. Kumar Ben Hashem, next one. Keep on thanking Hashem, Darren. Is it? Which Rashi are you up to? That's on the next. So we're saying words. It's really in the next Gemara.